Morning, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin this morning in verse 8 and look through about down about verse 16. The story of the shepherds on Christmas night, the night the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And I learned something this week. Guess how many hours a night the average sheep sleeps? Anybody want to guess? Apparently about five. In fact, in a 24-hour period, they say sheep will sleep about 5 hours. They spend a great deal of time eating, and they like to wander around as they eat, of course, because they're looking for grass and so forth. And so if you're a shepherd, I guess my question would be, and I have no answer to this one, but do you think they all sleep at the same time? Probably not. So picture yourself in the situation that these fellows found themselves night after night after night, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, watching the sheep. Some of them are up, some of them are down. Of course, at nighttime is when the predators might come out and try and take a sheep, or the thieves might come out at night and try to steal a sheep. And so I have to ask myself the question, how exciting, that might not be the right word, is the life of a shepherd? Certainly would be challenging. How rewarding? Well, I don't know. I guess taking care of the sheep has its reward. But these fellows, if you were to ask them, at the beginning of this passage, it says in verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And if you were to sit down and talk to those shepherds one by one and ask them, what do you expect tonight? They would say, well, let's see, there was last night and the night before, the night before, the night before, the night before. I expect the same kind of night I've always had. Trying to keep the sheep from wandering off. Trying to keep the wolves from getting in. Making sure no one comes to steal them. If a storm comes, maybe the sheep get excited and you've got to try to contain them somehow. And expecting the norm. Wow, would they have been wrong? I wonder how we look at the year ahead. Do you expect the norm? We tend to. You see, there are some things the Bible says about us, and I won't take you to the passages, but you know, one thing about us is we tend to evaluate the future based on the past. We say to ourselves, for example, you know, this is the way. Now, I will admit this, Lord willing, there will not be another year like the COVID year, right? That was a bad one, but month by month, year by year, we kind of judge life. Could I ask you this question? Do you think God might do something different this year? Yeah, maybe he'd come back. That'd be good. I think we need to be very, very careful. The Bible tells us that we are to walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, and not by sight. The Bible tells us that in Peter, for example, that there are some people who say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. In other words, they look at what has happened. They say, well, I kind of expect 2022 to be just like 2021. I just kind of expect next week to be kind of like last week. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to come home. I'm going to eat. I'm going to go to bed. And that's the life of a shepherd until God gets involved. And when God gets involved, can he change things? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read verses 8 through 16. Have a word of prayer. And look at what we might want to expect in these coming months and years because of God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, peace, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for those that are here and for the ones that could not be here. I pray you'd care for them today and bring them back to us safely. We thank you for this Christmas weekend. Many of us have had or will have days of rest, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the privilege we have of being with family and friends and opening gifts and the many blessings you give us this time of year. But Lord, I pray today that you'd let us see in the Bible a blessing, something that would speak to us, something that would be very clear to us, something that we could understand comes from you. And I ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I know God loves us. We talked about in Sunday school, God has a plan. And we also talked about the fact in Sunday school that we are part of God's plan. He has something for us to do. He has something to accomplish through us. He has sent his son to save us and to die for us and to be risen again from the dead so that he could pay for our sins. There are things that God's going to do next year, and I don't know what they are, but I know this. God's going to get glory. You'll see some things in this passage, and I won't take very long this morning. I'll probably be done well before noon, but you'll see some things in this passage that are encouraging because this is the way God works. Now, you might have lived in another day in history. You could have lived, for example, you could have lived in Israel in the days right before or right during when they were taken captive. Daniel, for example, he didn't get to choose the day in which he was born. God put him there, and he put him there in a time that could be called incredibly difficult. As we go through Daniel, we've seen some of this already. We'll see some more. You see, Daniel was the captive, and he's taken to a foreign land and taught a foreign language and a foreign culture, and he's taken away from his family and from his home and from his friends and everything familiar to him. And you say, well, that's just not fair. I'm sure glad Daniel was where he was when he was. I'm sure glad he was who he was, that he was willing to obey God and to have convictions and to make decisions and do what he did. And because of Daniel, I will be able to explain to my high school Bible class what the revelation really means because Daniel explained it to me. I'm sure glad Daniel was who he was and where he was. You weren't born in that day. You could have been born in the days, for example, when Israel was captive in Egypt. 430 years, was it, that they were captive in Egypt and they were slaves and they were, in one instance, they were forced, they were killing the male children because the Egyptians were afraid that the Israelites would be too great in number. And that you could have been born in that day. But we could go on and on. The fact of the matter is, God put us where we are right now. Don't you think he has a purpose? And don't you think the fact that, now, unless the Lord comes back, and I could take a vote, and we'd all vote yes, I hope he comes back tonight. And Mr. Dahlman's already voted once in the service. He says, let's let the Lord come back, and he might. But if we're here a week from today, which will be a new year, and the week after that, and the week after that, if God still has us here, God's got a plan. Please don't make the mistake, and don't let me make the mistake of thinking, well, nothing exciting is going to happen. It's going to be quiet. Oh, yeah, we got these sheep, and they're up 19 hours a day. And they wander around, and they get in trouble, and they get sick, and they fall in holes, and wolves come after them. And okay, here's another night where I'm not going to get a good night's sleep because some sheep's going to go out there and get himself in trouble. But other than that, the sun's going to come up in a few hours and it's just going to be another one of those nights. Don't think it's going to be another one of those years. God's got a plan. And even if it looks like a quiet year, and have we had one of those lately? I don't know, Mr. Mendez, have we had a quiet year in a while? This year wasn't very quiet. The year before that wasn't very quiet. Even if we have what we would think of as a quiet year, some things are going to happen. Look what God delights in doing, and not just for shepherds, but just in general, and including us. Let's show you a couple of things here. In the first place, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, lo. Now, this word means, hey, look. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Let's stop right there before we read that last phrase. Folks, God's going to show us some things in the year ahead. Now, I made a note, and you don't need to turn there, but in Proverbs chapter 8, in verse 34, the Bible says this, blessed, and that word means happy, by the way, is the man that heareth me, God says, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. I want to ask us all a question. Do you expect to hear some things from God in the days ahead? Amen? That Mr. Dahlman makes a good point. Every day. Because you see, when you get into this book, you're standing at God's gate. You're at the posts of his door. You are there in front of him saying, Lord, speak to me. And God will speak to us in the year ahead. In fact, he'll show you some things. Even if nothing exciting happened, when you wake up in the morning and you open your Bible and you see something in the Bible that you hadn't seen before and it guides you, and it changes the way you see things and the way you understand things, that's a huge blessing. Like one of the greatest blessings I ever got from the Word of God, it just jumped out at me like a ton of bricks. I can't remember anything else that happened that day. I couldn't give you the date, but I can tell you that when I was reading in the Bible and I understood when the Lord was talking about how a strong man cannot enter you cannot enter into a strong man's house except you first bind the strong man. If you know your Bible a little bit, you'll understand that's in the Gospels. And the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And he's just been accused of casting out devils by the prince of devils. And he says to them, he says, a strong man's house can't be entered unless you first bind the strong man. And For years, I'd not really sure understood what that meant. And then it became so clear to me just in a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And a devil cannot be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he binds the Holy Spirit. And you can't bind the Holy Spirit. And it was so clear to me, and to this day, that's one of the greatest devotions I have ever had. Just sitting there reading the Word of God, and God says, let me show you something. I'd ask you a question, when's the last time God said to you, let me show you something? You say, well, Pastor, I'm expecting 2022 to be a quiet year. The virus is going to go away, and you know, I'm going to get up and go to work and come home and go to bed and eat and all the rest. It's going to be a quiet year. I hope you're expecting to hear some great things from God. Look at the rest of that verse. He says in verse 9, those angels said, but when the angels came, it says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The glory of the Lord. Folks, God deserves to be glorified. He desires to be glorified, and he will be glorified. Will he be glorified in our life next year? And the answer is yes, if we will let him. We have to make some decisions that will allow that to happen. We need to be faithful. We need to be obedient. We need to be serving. And folks, I'm just telling you, if you look at your life and you see those times when you were doing those things, God gets the glory. And he's going to get glory in the coming year. And you say, Pastor, I don't expect anything good in 2022. It's going to be a quiet year. I hope not. I hope God gets glory in 2022. I hope he gets glory in my life in 2022 and in your life. Amen? I hope we see people saved because we're faithful. I hope we see people grow because we're faithful. But even if people are stubborn and they don't get saved, and people are stubborn and they don't grow. I hope we grow. I hope our faithfulness brings glory to God in the year ahead. Over the course of time, God's shown me that something, and that is that you're not faithful because other people are faithful. You're faithful because of who God is. He deserves our faithfulness. And even if someone else chooses not to be faithful to Him, that shouldn't keep us from being faithful. Amen? Now, there's definitely going to be some glory for Him in the coming year. Now, two more things I'll show you, and we won't be long once again, but look in chapter 2. I don't want to look at that word in verse 9 again. It says, they were sore afraid. And then in verse 10, it says, the angel said unto them, fear not. You ever had something scare you? Telephone rings, it's the doctor's office. I'm scared already. Or it's the bill collector, or it's the, I don't know, the auto mechanic, or it's the... You ever get news that scares you? You know what the Lord says? Fear not. Now think about this. These shepherds, expecting a very quiet night, and all of a sudden it begins when the angel of the Lord comes, it says, came upon them. He's right there. And the glory of the Lord showed round about them. What used to be night becomes day. And their first response was, they were afraid. Folks, sometimes when God's working, we don't see it at first. We just see the consequences of it. And we fall into that state of fear or that state of concern, that state of worry. Oh no, what's happening? We talked about that again in Sunday school where Joseph, when he found out that Mary was going to have a child, what's happening? This is not normal. This is not right. We're espoused to be married. We have not been together and she's going to have a child. Something's not right. But folks, what you've seen if you've lived very long is a lot of the time what you thought was going to be a big problem turns out to be a big blessing. Turns out God can use it in a great way. We had some situations at the end of the school year where some students got in a little bit of trouble. And without getting into great details, we prayed about it and we worked with it a little bit and we trusted the Lord. And shortly before the end of the semester, a couple of students came to my office and they said, Pastor, we want you to know we realized what we did was wrong and we're sorry. That's a big win. Well, when you heard about what was going on before the big win, you thought, oh, Mr. Mendez is gone and oh, and what's going to happen here? Somehow God's going to get glory. Somehow God's going to be the victor in the situation. The devil's not going to win. Just be faithful and stick it out. They were afraid. The angel said, fear not. He says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Somebody says, well, you know, God blesses other folks. He'll never bless me. Oh, ye have little faith. Of course He'll bless you. Amen? It's for all people. And then he says, the angel says to them, unto you, in verse 11, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, you and I read that, and we go, yeah, we knew that. But do you remember when you didn't know it? And when you found out? Do you remember the joy you had when you first got saved? And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is still busy next year, prayerfully, because of you and I and our ministry here, some people are going to hear that news and they're going to trust Christ as Savior. And let me tell you what, if one person got saved next year, if just one person got saved, when you and I are in eternity with them, walk up to them someday, walk up to them same day on those streets of gold and say to them, you think it was worth it that we did all that work in 2022 just so you could get saved? What do you think they're going to say? I am so glad you did. I am so glad you did. Folks, God's going to get some glory next year, and fruit is one of the ways He gets that glory. So we ought to be expecting to hear from God next year. We ought to be expecting to see God glorified next year. And then let's just look at one more in verse 12. He says, and this shall be a sign unto you. So he told them about their Savior in verse 11. This shall be a sign unto you. Why do they need a sign? You know, if you found a baby in a house, you'd say, well, that's fine. Lots of babies get born in lots of houses. That's not special. But look what the angel says to them. He says, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, think about that for a minute. Swaddling clothes, if you remember, they were not prepared for this situation. They were not in a good place. They were in a stable. They did not have the supplies they needed. They got, I presume, some clothing or whatever, and they wrapped the Lord Jesus Christ in what they could find. And a manger is that thing that they put cattle feed in. They're made out of wood. You've seen 100 of them in Christmas plays somewhere along the way. But you ever seen a real one? How many of you ever seen a real place where they feed cattle? They like to chew on the wood, so it's got splinters and stuff, and it's kind of rounded off on the corners a little bit. And a cow's got a tongue about that long, and they've licked that thing to get the last of the food out of it. And so it's kind of got its own kind of smell. This is not the place you put a baby. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't. He's the King of Kings. He's the creator of the universe. He doesn't belong in a place like that. This is their Savior, he says, and the angel says in verse 11, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Where would you expect to find someone like that? In the most beautiful, immaculate, clean, pleasant place that you could put him, and yet they're going to find him wrapped in what clothing they could find, placed in a container that they could find. That's a sign. I strongly suggest there was not one other baby in Jerusalem or anywhere nearby in those circumstances that night. Why would that need to be a sign? Have you ever wondered if something is right or wrong or sure or not, or should I do this or shouldn't I do this, or you got doubt and questions and I'm not sure what to do? Do you think God can show you just what you ought to do? You think God can make sure you're just where you ought to be and give you clear direction? Now, if you put two and two together, realize this. The Lord Jesus Christ, as an infant, was willing to be placed in an inferior place, inferior clothing, an inferior container, so that he could be found. Folks, the Lord wants people to find him. And he wants people to be sure about things. And he wants you and I, and I just pick the word, he wants us to know he's willing to lead us. There's a couple of things that are real simple that we learn over the course of the years. And one of them is this. If you're not sure what God's will is, stay where you are. How many times have we told our children, you know, we're going to go across the street, or we're going to go to the mailbox, or we're going to stay here till we get back. And then they might not hear from us for 5, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever. And so they understand something. Until I'm told to move, I stay right here. And sure is the world. When do the children get in trouble? When they don't stay where they're supposed to. Stay right here. We know that where they are is safe. Folks, wherever God has you, until he moves you, stay right there. And then somewhere along the way, if God wants to move you, he'll let you know. If you're not sure, I would suggest, you need to pray some more perhaps, but I would suggest if you're not sure, it's probably because God wants you to stay right where you are. Now what does that mean? You don't make major changes in your life. You don't change jobs. You don't change churches. You don't change locations until God says to. He says to them, you're going to have a sign. There's going to be something evident here. It's going to be very clear. And then I look at verse 13. I'm almost done. I keep seeing these words that jump out at me. You've got that word afraid in verse 9. And ye shall find in verse 12. There's going to be a finding. They're going to know the truth. And then look at verse 13. And suddenly. Now that had to be a bit shocking, because it sounds to me like it started out with one angel. And now we got a whole bunch of them. Wouldn't you like to see that? I wonder how many there were. It uses the word multitude. I don't think multitude is 10, do you? I don't even think multitude's 100, I don't think. It might be, but I doubt it. No, I think multitude is thousands. There you are watching your sheep, hoping they sleep another hour. It's dark. I'm listening for wolves. I'm listening for that sheep to cry out because he's hurt or lost or sick. And it's dark and it's quiet. And then there's an angel. And then there's the glory of the Lord. I'm listening now. And then there's 10,000 of them. Suddenly. Wonder what God might do suddenly next year. Oh, and by the way, the shepherds had no control over that. It wasn't their decision. They didn't pick the time. They didn't pick the situation at all. They were just where they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to do, and then suddenly. What if God did something suddenly next year that was so extraordinary that for the rest of your life you'd say, I remember what God did that year. Well, there may be enough of those that we don't have to list just one. There might be several of them. He says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. And what are they doing? They're praising God and they're saying glory to God. And then look at their message. This is very important. In verse 14, he says, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now you understand, and I try not to make this hobby horse one that I spend all my time on, but you've probably heard this at least once. In that verse, if you were to look that verse up in Greek, and you were to look at the Greek language, when it was originally written, it was written in Greek, it was translated into English, but if you look at the Greek, the very last letter of the very last word in that verse is a Greek letter sigma. It's like an S to us. But in that modern version, like the NIV or the RASV or whatever, those new NASV and so on, they use a Greek text that takes that last letter and ignores it. So it's gone. The last letter is missing. You say, well, Pastor, surely one letter can't make a lot of difference. I'm going to tell you what it does. The last word in that verse in Greek is a noun. And that noun is completely changed so that the modern version says, listen to this, peace on earth, goodwill, I'm paraphrasing, but still, towards them with whom he is well pleased. That's the way they say it. Now, you see what it says right here, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There is a difference between men and them with whom he is well pleased. The message that we have is not just for those that God chose to save, it's for all men. And what is our message? And this message is the same message the angels had, it's the same message the shepherds heard, and oh, by the way, they listened to it and did something about it. He says, peace on earth, and folks, what kind of peace? Well, there's two or three things you can say there, and I'll try and be brief. I don't want to be laborious here, but number one, we got to be at peace with God. The Bible says that ungodly men, unrighteous men, are at enmity with God. They are his enemy. They are opposed to him. And once you become God's enemy, something has to be done to change that. We call that reconciliation. We have a message of reconciliation, Corinthians says. Peace on earth. Peace with God. And then folks, rule hard and fast always works this way. If you are at peace with God, you should be at peace with one another. Why is there so much fighting in the world today? Because people aren't at peace with God. And folks, in a church, it should be the same way. If we're at peace with God, we should be at peace with one another. This is a message of peace, not enmity, not war, not conflict, not strife, but peace. And then he says, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. Now, the question of the hour, obviously, is what do you expect in the year ahead? You expect to have just a bunch of trouble, and it's just going to be one of those years, and I can't wait till it's over, too. Or do you expect that God's goodwill towards you is going to bear some fruit somehow? Because, folks, God has goodwill toward us. That's the message. And he has goodwill towards other people as well, and we need to tell them. It's not a bad message. It's not a message you should be ashamed of. It's not a message that you should hesitate to give out. God wants to be at peace with you. He has goodwill towards you. He wants to save you. He gave his son to die for your sins. The devil paints it another way. Oh, God just wants to take things away from you like he did with in Genesis chapter 3 with Eve. Well, you know, Eve, the problem here is that God didn't tell you everything. If you'd eat this fruit, you'd be like him, knowing good and evil, and you'd be like God. Did that work out very well? No. But the devil always lies like that, and he's lied to people that you and I know. And the message is, folks, God wants peace with you. He wants to reconcile with you. He has goodwill toward you. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not just for those with whom he is well pleased. It's to everybody. Now, and I'm done just about. Let's one more thing real quick. Look at the end of the chapter or the end of the passage. So it came to pass the angels were gone away. And now it's dark again. And now they hear the sheep again. The thought occurs to me. I wonder if the sheep saw the angels. I don't know. But the shepherd said one to another, let us now go. You see, that's what one more thing I guess I should say that's going to make next year different is if you and I decide to go. Because you've heard what God had to say. You know what the message is. You know that God wants to lead us. You know that God has goodwill towards us. Now the question is, what are we going to do about it? Every single Sunday when you come to church, not just Sunday, but on Sunday morning, you come to church, you hear the message. The message is just somebody standing up talking for 45 minutes. The question is, what are you going to do about it? When you read the Bible and you hear what God has to say, the question is, what are you going to do about it? I like these shepherds. Let us now go. And look what they say, and I'll be done. He says, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem. Because they said in the city of David in verse 11, and that's the Bethlehem, they knew that, we know that, and you might not have seen that, but let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Oh, wait. They haven't seen anything yet except angels. How do they know it's come to pass? Because they believe God. Do you believe God? Then that'll change whether or not you go. That'll change how you see things. That'll change the way you approach the year. They say, let us now go and see this thing which has come to pass, although they hadn't seen it yet, but they believed it, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. They're in a hurry and found, and I like that's the word to finish up with. You know, when you believe God and you go, you're going to find. Amen? Whatever it is that God sent you to, if you'll listen to him and believe and go, you will find. Not a single person that ever heard the gospel and believed it and prayed that didn't find eternal life. I'm simplistic there, but a person that truly believes that Christ died for their sins and asked God to save them, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's something to find in the year ahead. God's going to lead us in the year ahead. We need to believe him in the year ahead. What started out as a fearful thing, one angel, and then became a magnificent thing, a whole bunch of angels. And then after the angels were gone, it's dark again, it's quiet again. Now it's the shepherd's turn. What are you going to do with this? They said, let us now go. And you know the end of the story, which I won't take time to read you. They found the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we expect in the year ahead? Don't expect just because it's been this way day after day that God's not going to do something different. Listen to what he's had to say. Believe him. Act upon it. And God will do some great things in the year ahead. In your life. Let's all stand and pray.